Welcome back. It's a Monday, the 21st day of August, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Call. And unless the actual truth starts to come out around any of a dozen or so topics this week, the biggest economic news begins tomorrow in South Africa, where the BRICS nations are meeting to decide, well, what they're going to do about destroying the dollar. And certainly a lot of people are waiting with bated breath to see just how fast that'll be accomplished and whether it's going to begin imminently or just real soon now. But as analyst John Rubino put it over the weekend in an excellent interview with Greg Hunter at USAWatchdog.com, whatever happens, it'll be bad for the fiat buck. And don't forget, the Biden Fuhrer is still wreaking destruction too, and what his puppet masters have planned and are currently unleashing is probably even deadlier for the almighty dollar, even in the short run. And let's start there, folks, with a story that came out on Friday from Alex Jones and Infowars.com, went viral over the weekend, and rightfully so. And while there were updates before Monday morning, the basic story says whistleblowers from the transportation sexual abusers, but maybe they deserve a new appellation now, because you got to believe that anybody that would go along with this stuff are simply totally stupid, what begins with A and ends with holes. Anyway, and Border Patrol, among others, various three-letter agencies, have now agreed. Whistleblowers have come forward and raised the alarm to InfoWars, says the piece, that the Biden Fuhrer regime is setting the stage for. The mind boggles, folks, but as Robert A. Heinlein once said, never underestimate the power of human stupidity. Will people really go along with this again? Oh, yeah. Don't you doubt it for a second. They're setting the stage for full COVID lockdowns. Call it 2020 all over again. That will begin, as they always do, with incremental restrictions like idiotic masking of those terminally stupid agents and other government employees, those that don't have the good sense to say no, starting in mid-September. Ethan Huff's late weekend summary for Natural News says that various whistleblowers for the TLAs are saying yet another round of lockdowns, mask mandates, and other unbelievably stupid tyranny are coming down the pike come mid-September, compliments of the fake unelected Biden Fuhrer. And according to reports, the COVID 2.0, bigger, better, and coming to a theater near you scenario will be incremental, as you can expect. You got to figure they want to monitor how well people are drinking the Kool-Aid and adjust their propaganda accordingly. Remember, the beauty of masks is it's real easy to see just who's fallen for it. And that the corporate-controlled media is now signaling the alleged emergence of yet another, say it with me, folks, booga, booga, booga.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Highly mutated variant, thank you, Tony Fauci. Well, he's got his minions still in place, of the Wuhan/Fauci flu that they're calling BA2.86, or maybe that stands for badass number 2 and deep six the economy. Even the normally skeptical and not quite so gullible New York Post is fear-mongering about this one, asking in a headline, should we be wearing masks? Well, only folks if you're terminally stupid, and maybe that means your brain doesn't really deserve to have oxygen anyway. The answer, of course, says Natural News, is no. Not only do face masks do absolutely nothing except make a person look stupid and, in fact, rebreathe your own exhaust gases, once the CO2 in their bloodstream builds up, they become stupid. But, of course, they also cause other serious harm by restricting proper oxygen intake while overloading the person's body with carbon dioxide, thus not only bringing on hypoxia, but hypercapnia as well. And you'd think anybody with a medical degree ought to know that. Heck, maybe they ought to even know what's smaller than the gaps between the fibers of a cloth mask. Answer, almost anything that might be booga, 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 really scary, and have letters and numbers like BA.2.86. The whistleblowers have also said what you could have already guessed. These policies, and there'll be mandates by then, will expand by the middle of October to include forced masking, Achtung, you will wear it or else. And that will include all pilots, flight attendants, passengers, and airport patrons. In other words, folks, anybody that's stupid enough to get on a commercial flight where the people have already been injected and shouldn't be flying a plane anyway, especially if they're suffering from hypercapnia and hypoxia. Oh, yeah, and let's not forget myocarditis, pericarditis, elevated risk for strokes, and all kinds of other things that come as a direct result of having been injected, whether they liked it or not. Which brings me, of course, to the real issue here. And while I've talked about it for a long time, so has Alex Jones, so has Mike Adams, and so, in fact, has just about every honest doctor, those associated with the FLCCC and others, Not to mention people like Ed Dowd, who've looked at the statistics and noted, wow, we have an incredible, in some cases, 20 sigma, and in other cases, 61 sigma increase in various fatal and debilitating side effects associated with the Zyklon B not vaccine injections. And that is the real problem. Ask yourself a question. If you're a communist, fascist, fill-in-the-ist totalitarian who's been guilty of committing crimes against humanity and want to make darn sure that when the death rates that we've already seen blowing through the statistical limits become completely unhideable, even with a captive press, then what are you going to do? Answer. As a lot of us engineers used to remark very sarcastically when it came to things somewhat like this, although not nearly as deadly in our case, if you can't fix it, feature it. In other words, hey, people are going to die. Let's do this. Let's just say, booga, booga, booga. It's not because we poisoned them with the Zyklon B injection. No, it's because they didn't take enough of the Zyklon B, and now they're dying. It works for heroin addicts, doesn't it? Last time, of course, we had to rig the statistics. We had the cycle threshold of those bogus tests that we could run way up to produce any number of arbitrary false positives, and that gave us the case numbers we needed to really scare people, and then they'd believe almost anything. And that helped make it look like all kinds of people were dying from the booga-booga flu, whether it really was or not. And you know what I'm talking about, folks, whether it's death by self-inflicted alcohol poisoning or a car wreck. And now they're dying from the Zyklon B. But if they kill somebody in a car wreck, hey, that's easy to cover up. How about if they just drop dead, though, like when they're flying an airplane? Oh, and by the way, folks, here's a story from just over the weekend. What an amazing coincidence. Shortly after taking off from Miami, the pilot of a commercial Latin American Airlines headed south towards Chile excused himself from the cockpit, went into the forward lavatory, and croaked right there in flight. What seems to have really sealed the deal, though, was they had to ask, hey, is there a doctor on board? We need somebody right now. And that kind of spilled the beans. They had to make an emergency landing in Panama, and ooh, that was harder to cover up now, wasn't it? And guess what, folks? All that we're hearing is that the symptoms looked like they were directly related to cardiac arrest, which suggests to those that don't work for the airlines or the media that the 56-year-old pilot succumbed to having been forced to take the Zyklon B in order to continue working. But you're not going to hear that, much less be allowed to post it on to Facebook or tweet it on X. But if you're paying attention, you can probably connect the dots and make a reasoned assessment as to how the coming wave of deaths due to exactly this kind of thing are instead going to be featured and sold to a gullible, dumbed-down, masked public one more time as a reason that you now have to wear your mask and, oh yes, take your new improved booster. Are people really, truly this terminally stupid? Well, if history is any guide, folks, the answer is yes. But one thing is almost a lead pipe cinch at this point. We're going to find out. Here's a related story. This actually came out last week when presidential candidate RFK Jr., interviewed by Tucker Carlson, warned that thousands of what he called death scientists are developing, hey, here's a shocker, deadly pathogens as killer bioweapons in secret biolabs, not only in America, as he pointed out, but as, of course, we've also learned in places like Ukraine, and let's not forget Fauci's favorite, Wuhan. Kennedy made the claim during that recent interview with independent news anchor Tucker Carlson, and he warned that thousands of unregulated scientists, yeah, see, he's still got that leftist bent, are developing bioweapons on American soil, probably with American taxpayer bucks, but certainly without oversight. And according to Kennedy, a staggering 36,000 so-called scientists, some of us would call them whores for Big Brother, are assigned to develop deadly bioweapons under the direction of people like the lately retired Tony Fauci, former head of the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, or whatever the hell the cover story is, but RFK Jr. claimed that it was in fact former President Barack Hussein Obama who ignored repeated warnings about Fauci's experiments with deadly microbes, arguably because he knew darn well that was what was going on, and the topic was raised when the pair began to discuss the bioweapons labs in Ukraine, where Kennedy noted that the U.S. has biolabs in Ukraine because we're making bioweapons. And then he went on to state what he'd already written about in his book, that Tony Fauci got all the responsibility for bioweapons development, and he added that three killer viruses have already escaped from separate labs in the United States. And, hey, you can pretty well bet there are others coming soon to a theater near you. And if you're a regular listener, and I'm sure you've heard this, but it certainly bears repeating, especially given that they're fixing to do it all over again. Quote, in 2014, said RFK Jr., 300 scientists wrote to President Obama and said, you've got to shut down Anthony Fauci because he's going to create a microbe that will cause a global pandemic. And so, he continued, Obama signed a moratorium and shut down the 18 worst of Fauci's experiments, where most of them were taking place in North Carolina by a scientist, and by the way, folks, you may have heard his name, called Ralph Baric, added Kennedy. And then he went on to explain that Fauci outsourced many of those bioweapons programs offshore. And the rest, they say, is history, even if the waste stream has been lying to you about it for years now. Kennedy also said Fauci had sought to continue the experiments in foreign countries. Guess why? To avoid scrutiny in the U.S. and to avoid culpability for the mass destruction that he's been oh so careful to engineer. At least, it certainly looks that way. Often, folks, I'll save stories like this for the latter part of the show when I go into a bit more in-depth analysis, but this one fits so well right here, we just have to do it. It comes from columnist and author Vox Day's website with a bit of a disclaimer that we'll get to in a minute, but it's called How Doctors Create Customers. And he begins by noting, if you've ever wondered why learning of history is discouraged, well, this anecdote, he says, from Chroniques de Geneva by François Bonnivard, finished in 1570, yeah, over 500 years ago, but not published until 1831, ought to help explain it. Quote, when the bubonic plague struck Geneva in 1530, everything was ready, he said. Now, wait a second. This sounds almost like cyberpunk, doesn't it? Can you believe that there were doctors even back then that were just evil enough to pull this? Yeah, listen to the whole thing. When the bubonic plague struck Geneva in 1530, everything was ready, he wrote. They even opened a whole hospital for plague victims, with doctors, paramedics, and nurses. The traders contributed, the magistrate gave grants every month, and the patients always gave money. And if any of them died alone, well, guess what? All the goods went to the hospital. But then, he wrote, a disaster happened. The plague was dying out, while the subsidies depended on the number of patients. Does that sound familiar? Back to the quote. There was no question of right or wrong for the Geneva hospital staff in 1530, because if the plague produces money, then the plague is good. And then the doctors got organized. At first, he continued, they just poisoned patients to raise the mortality statistics. Boy, folks, this could have been written in 2021. But quickly, they realized that the statistics didn't have to be just about mortality, but specifically, they needed to be about mortality from plague. So they needed a better plan. I guess they didn't have CNN or the WAPO. Quote, they began to cut the boils from the bodies of the dead, dry them, grind them in a mortar, and then give them to other patients, calling them medicine. Then they started dusting their clothes, handkerchiefs, and garters. But somehow, the plague continued to abate. See, this is the difference. Back then, they didn't understand natural immune function very well. Today, we're simply lied to about it. But again, the dried buboes didn't work very well, so doctors went into town and spread bubonic powder on door handles at night, selecting those homes where they could profit after it happened. As an eyewitness wrote on these events, quote, this remained hidden for some time, but the devil is more concerned with increasing the number of sins than hiding them. And imagine, folks, this was 500 years before Fauci. In short, continued François Bonnivard, one of the doctors became so impudent and lazy that he decided not even to wander the city at night, but simply threw a bundle of dust into the crowd during the day. The stench rose to the sky, and one of the girls, who had the lucky chance of having recently come out of that same hospital, recognized what the smell was. The doctor was tied up. Now, by the way, this is different, but arguably, probably a better way to handle the situation than letting it happen all over again. Anyway, the doctor, it says, was tied up and placed in the good hands of competent craftsmen, who then tried to get as much information from him as possible. However, the execution lasted several days. And here's where the story diverges radically from current plans to repeat history. The ingenious hypocrites, wrote Bonnivard, were tied to poles on wagons and carried around the city. At each intersection, the executioners used red-hot tongs to tear off pieces of meat. They were then taken to the public square, beheaded, and quartered. And the pieces were taken to all the districts of Geneva. If you've seen Braveheart, you've seen a similar process, but ironically, in the case of Geneva at least, they seem to have gotten the right people. And you know what, folks? Here I have to pause and say, I can't help but think that almost everybody who was in the crowd that watched this comeuppance probably knew somebody or had family that suffered as a result. Isn't that an amazing historic parallel, too? The only exception, it says, was the hospital director's son, who did not take part in the trial, but blurted out that he knew how to make potions and how to prepare the powder without fear of contamination, and he was simply beheaded to, quote, prevent the spread of evil. Writes Vox Dei in commentary, apparently the Geneva doctors, sick, didn't initially understand that excess mortality statistics would give them away either. And he adds, here comes the disclaimer, folks, it's said that Bonnivard's work is not well regarded by historians. Now, I have to add, hey, neither is anything that the so-called historians, so beloved of the left, those who write the twisted history, call conspiracy theory, when the truth isn't supposed to become known. Says Vox Dei, I have no doubt that he's not well regarded, but that still doesn't mean it doesn't provide a faithful and true account of the events it relates. What historians believe to be credible, he notes, is often a very false and unreliable metric. And given where we are today, the abhorrent behavior of those 16th century Geneva doctors is much easier to believe in the immediate aftermath of the COVID pandemic and mass vaccinations, and he calls them vax assassinations, than it might have been. And it's also, he notes, interesting to see just how deeply involved the hospital bureaucrats were in the murderous Geneva scheme as well. I gotta say it, Mark Twain was right again. History may not repeat exactly, but it sure rhymes. From there, let's turn to some other perfidy that tells us, hey, wait a minute, at least certain aspects of human nature haven't changed over the many centuries. Well, not since Genesis 3, it would seem. What caused the deadly Maui fires, wrote Dr. Joseph Mercola in a byline as of Monday morning. The key seems to be there really is a whole lot that the media won't tell you. And as a matter of fact, we're even seeing stories saying that the state government of Hawaii is hiding a whole lot of stuff that you're not supposed to know. Who could have imagined that coming to pass? The fires, begins Mercola, fueled by hurricane strength, 60 to 90 mile an hour winds, allegedly at least from Hurricane Dora, or at least something that was associated with the manipulation of whatever happened there, and it passed some 500 miles south of Hawaii. The fires themselves ripped across the landscape at a pace of 1 mile per minute, 60 miles per hour, and as a result, the fire spread incredibly rapidly. And here's an amazing coincidence you probably heard about. The local warning system also failed. So many residents didn't realize they were in danger until smoke billowed into their homes, and many of them, including entire families, were burned alive before they even succumbed to the smoke. The death toll appears to have been further exacerbated, says Dr. Mercola, by the fact that schools were closed and children sent home, while many parents remained at work, and because the warning sirens didn't go off, a lot of children ended up being burned alive in their own homes. How many? Well, don't expect to hear that for a while either, although a story over the weekend from the Daily Mail says the real death total is probably closer to 500, and that means already they're running out of body bags in Maui, and the number missing is still pretty close to 1,000, so expect it to go much higher, even if it takes a long time for the truth to finally come completely out. According to Governor Josh Green, the warning sirens, he said, may have been immobilized by heat from the fire, but the exact cause of the failure is still under investigation.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for. Move along. Move along.
What a crock. However, Maui also has a cell phone alert system, and you may even recall, if you don't get your news from the criminally negligent networks, that residents in Maui received a false alert on their phones about 5 years back about an incoming missile threat, which begs the question, even if the sirens were destroyed, allegedly, by the fire, why wasn't a cell phone alert dispatched anyway? And maybe the cynics among us already have an answer to that one. Remember the idiotic claim that if they actually warned people, they'd probably run uphill right smack into the fire? That's presuming, of course, that the police didn't block the roads that led in the other direction now, isn't it? And to this one, I heard over the weekend that the increasingly awakened and former Democrat senator and presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard actually lost her temper, came out and called BS on that one. When the currently claimed death toll of just around 100, though, it's still the deadliest U.S. wildfire in a century and the worst natural disaster in the history of Maui. Yeah, I'm inclined to put sick after the word natural disaster, aren't you? And now the number of people reported missing is up to 1,300, writes Mercola. So, yeah, do expect the death total eventually to rise significantly. And I just had a really disgusting thought, folks. I wonder if they'll say these people died because they weren't wearing their masks. I know, that's irritating even to think about, but wait a minute. They're going to ask you to believe even more stupid stuff than that, and you know it, don't you? So the old saying is certainly true. Forewarned is forearmed. All of which leads me to this story, and as a pilot, it kind of caught my eye. It comes from Citizen Watch Report, and it has to do with what are called NOTAMs. Used to be that stood for Notices to Airmen, but that's not politically correct anymore, so they've changed it. I could care less what it stands for now, but it's the same concept. If you're a pilot, there are things you're supposed to know about. So these things are published to tell you. It also specifies what's called a TFR, temporary flight restriction, and that includes things like private aircraft, and guess why, as well as drones. The NOTAM specifies the details of the TFR, and it includes things like height above mean sea level, start and end times and dates and so forth. They're available online. Every pilot knows about them. And the one for the area around Lahaina includes a TFR for airspace up to and including 3,000 feet above sea level. And according to MauiCounty.gov, the Lahaina fire, suspicious as it may have been, started on the morning of August 8th this year and was declared 100% contained, infamously, shortly before 9 a.m. the same day. The TFR, though, continues all the way through August 23rd. It's still in effect, in other words, through this coming Wednesday, with the ostensible reason, and this doesn't really ring all that false unless you begin to connect some dots, to provide a safe environment, they say, for firefighting. They want to prevent aircraft and drones from being able to see what's going on for at least 8 days or a week or more after the fire had been contained. And if that sounds fishy, wait, says the author here, there's more. Pilots are also encouraged, and this is true, folks, I've done it many, many times over decades at this point, to file a PIREP, which stands for Pilot Report, if they encounter severe or unforecast conditions, or sometimes we just file a pilot report because there's something of interest going on. And honestly, folks, I can't tell you how many times I've personally reported fires from the air and asked what was going on. Sometimes mine was the first report, other times there were lots of others pointing out the same issue. Anyway, a PIREP is filed with air traffic control or with what used to be called flight service verbally and in real time, and ATC and others can quickly update pilots on local frequencies. In other words, you can ask, hey, are there any PIREPs for the area? I want to know what's going on, and you'll find out. The author here says he decided to go check the ATC audio archives from liveatc.net to see exactly what was recorded. They come in 30-minute audio clips, and they include ground, tower, as well as north-south departure and approach controls and frequencies. And typically, as soon as an airplane takes off, tower hands the pilot off to a departure frequency. And you can hear all of that, or at least sometimes. I went through all the departure and approach archives for all of August 8th, says the author, and more than 30% of them have been scrubbed, meaning that PIREPs and any other ATC communications that took place that day is evidently something Big Brother doesn't want the world to know. Let me put it this way, folks. If the goal here was to be open and transparent and increase faith in government and assure the populace that no, they're not trying to hide anything, this is absolutely not the way to do it. But it is, arguably, how some of us may get a glimpse at what the real truth is over time. And no wonder Big Brother's public-private partners want to censor that, too. Let's close today with just a few headlines that make the same point we already knew as well. Hey, the crookedness is still going on, still being covered up, and sometimes they even double down. RFK Jr., for one, has blasted the approval by the Biden Fuhrer of F-16s for Ukraine. They really still are jonesing for a nuclear finish to World War III. He calls it, appropriately, a disaster for humanity. This one might be funny if it wasn't also a disaster for humanity. The lawyers for the crooked crackhead first fake son played heavily, says a piece from Zero Hedge, with the Department of Just Us and have effectively threatened to force the bogus president to testify in any criminal trial that might happen to the first son if they fail to complete the cover-up and a plea agreement isn't reached over his multiple unprosecuted actual felonies if anybody else had done them. A letter that said the Biden Fuhrer would, quote, unquestionably be a fact witness for the defense in any trial, said one of Hunter's attorneys in a letter last fall reported by Politico. And along with 300 other previously unreported emails and documents, it sheds new light, says the piece, on the negotiations that nearly produced that disgusting plea deal. And I guess, folks, here's the bottom line. They really want the circus to focus on the center ring, which is what's going to happen to Donald Trump and his show trial, and completely ignore the real criminality that they intend to keep covering up, just like they covered it up before the last rigged presidential election. And if you can see how the booga-booga flu just might play into it again, almost exactly the same way, at least it rhymes, you're probably way ahead of the curve. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.